Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com, a broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Light of the East. I am Father Thomas Loya, your host. And today, if you want to follow the Eastern Catholic tradition, at least of most of the Eastern Catholic Churches at this time, on this day, this will be the last day that you have meat until we get to Pascha. That's right. Today is called Meat Fair. It will also be called Carnival or Carnivale. That's where we get that tradition down in New Orleans of the carnival. And what happens is we eat meat for the last time because we're going to abstain from it throughout the period of Lent, at least in the Eastern Catholic Churches. Then next Sunday, we will jettison the dairy products, the cheeses. So we've actually moved into Lent in stages, and we've let go of all of the fatty stuff. We'll come back to that on Easter and Pascha with those delicious Pascha Easter basket foods that we bless in the Byzantine Catholic Church. So that's what today is, but it is preceded by one of the several All Souls Saturdays in which we pray for the deceased. And then on this Sunday, we focus on the gospel about the Last Judgment from Matthew's gospel. And it brings up some questions that are often asked in our world today, in and out of the church. One of those is, a loving God would not really send someone to hell forever, would he? I mean, many people today seem to be rediscovering, they may not know this, what it is exactly, but they're rediscovering an ancient heresy, which is very, very tempting to believe in. It's very easy to want to believe in it. It's called apokatastasis. It's a Greek word, big word. And it was known mostly by and among the theologian Origen. Origen was one of the greatest minds of the early church. But unfortunately, just like sometimes what happens when something is great, a mind that can really think, it can sometimes, what happens when something is very full and great and big, it can spill over. So Origen kind of spilled over into this idea, which has kind of had a renaissance, a resurgence today. At least I think so. A lot of people are thinking that God would not really send anyone to hell. In the end, everyone will be saved. Now, that's a very attractive thought. What do the Eastern Catholic Churches say about that? Well, first of all, when we talk about sending someone to hell, that's not really what happens. In a sense, it does. Judgment Day, we get our direction for eternity. Either we're going to be with God forever in heaven, or we'll be in hell. There is an intermediate period, but it is temporary. That's why it's intermediate. It's temporary. In the Latin Rite Church, it's known as purgatory. Now, the Eastern Catholic Churches accept that term as well, but they have, along with the Orthodox Churches, a slightly different spin on it. And that sometimes is where we get into confusion between East and West. We sometimes think we're talking about two different things, but we're really not in essence. We're talking about the fact that there is some kind of intermediate period between death and our judgment, where before we end up in our final place, as you know, the last things are death and judgment, heaven and hell. Before we end up there, there is the sort of intermediate place where God judges, but God allows for certain sort of extra time to be purged, purgatory. In other words, you're going to end up in heaven. Yes, you will be saved, as we hope everyone is, but we don't know. We can't say for certain, think in the end everybody's going to be saved. So that's the heresy. It is not supported by scripture or tradition. I know it's a horrifying thought that people will actually go to hell forever, but it is in the scripture and in the sacred teaching of the church. But the hope is that in between, there is a time when souls can be prayed for. That's in the scripture. It's also in the long tradition of the church. And it certainly is in the Byzantine Catholic Church, because the Byzantine Catholic Church has five All Souls Saturdays, five times special times, I should say. We pray for the deceased all the time at every liturgy and so on. But we certainly do in a very special way during the Lenten season. And we call those the Saturdays of the Departed. Now, when you look at the liturgy in the Eastern Catholic churches, and we always say this on this program, if you've been with us for any length of time, you come to know what the Eastern Catholic churches are all about by looking at their liturgical texts. Because our liturgical texts in the Eastern Catholic churches, the dogmatic hymns, as they can be called, are full of theology. In other words, we're essentially praying our belief. It's like opening up the Catholic Catechism and chanting it for an hour in church, or maybe longer, or whatever. Yet something like Eastern liturgy. Like, for example, on the Saturday of the Departed, the Vesper, the evening prayer, we say this: "So faithful, let us commemorate today all those who have fallen asleep from times beyond memory, and all those who have lived in true faith, each one individually." So that's the thing. We actually remember everyone individually. In fact, we have what's called the diptychs, which means basically like two sides, like a book, that lists all the members of our parish and our family that have died, have passed on. We actually remember them. We put their names in a book. And on these Saturdays of the Departed, during the liturgy, there's a special funeral rite as part of the liturgy at the end. And we actually mention all these names by name. Yes, the priest mentions our family members and the members of the parish who have passed on by name. And that's why the prayers here says, "All those who have fallen asleep from times beyond memory, and all those who have lived in true faith, each one individually." That's right. Yes, we pray generically for the deceased, but we also pray individually for them, especially during this Lenten season, during these days of the Saturdays of the Departed. "Let us praise the Lord our Savior, praying to Him with fervor, that at the time of judgment they may have a good account to our God who is judge of the earth, so that they may stand joyfully at His right hand in the company of the just as brilliant heirs of the saints, and that they may deserve His heavenly kingdom." So we have liturgical texts such as these, in which there is no doubt that the Eastern churches certainly believe in a very deep and comprehensive way what the West would call purgatory. In other words, a time of purgation, a time of waiting where the person is not yet holy enough, purified, to enter heaven. They have chosen the right way, but they may not be perfect enough, because in the book of Revelations now it says that nothing unclean will enter heaven. Nothing unclean. Can any of us say that we're all unclean? Are we ever totally unclean all the time? Or is there always some kind of spiritual blemish in us? So in God's mercy, and thankfully in the teaching of the church, which a lot of people doubt, but I think you would be thankful for it. You'd want to believe in it. If the church didn't teach it, you'd probably believe in it, because it's the only hope we have. Because I certainly don't feel that I'm clean enough to go into heaven. Of course, at this moment, of course, that's God's judgment, but I don't feel that way. I feel like I still got a lot of work to do to be clean enough. And if I die before I'm clean enough, I'm thankful that there is a purgatory, if you want to use that term. The East doesn't use it per se, but it has the same concept. In fact, so oftentimes you'll find that in the Western Church, some of the theology of things, even like the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption, or purgatory. Many of these things actually have their roots in the Eastern theology. That's right, in the Eastern liturgical text. In fact, the Pope consulted the Eastern liturgical text to form some of the dogmas, such as the Assumption and the Immaculate Conception. So it's not like the East, for example, the Orthodox and the Roman Catholics, had this great disparity in belief. It's mostly about how they believe in it, how they emphasize it, how they look at it. You're looking at things from different perspectives, sometimes can lead us into thinking that we see things entirely differently, that there's no meaning point. And that's a mistake. And that's what this program is dedicated to, overcoming that mistake. We like to present the church East and West, mostly, of course, the East, but also the West, the riches of one another, but also the point that we might see things differently in a different way, but it's not that we end up actually believing so radically different about these things. In fact, we do not, if we were really honest about it. East and West arrive at the same point, but in different ways and different expressions. And that is one of the mainstay principles, messages of this program, Light of the East. It's a program dedicated to unity in the church. And one of our principles is that the East and the Western churches arrive at the same point, but in different ways. It does not mean they believe fundamentally something different. Now, I'm going to point out some other things that are interesting in our liturgical text. And one of the things that we do on this great day of the Saturday of the Departed, which precedes the Meat Fair Day, the Sunday of Judgment, is that we go through all the ways in which people die. And we actually enumerate them and say things like, Lord, you know the needs of each. If you have permitted certain ones to die without hope because of some sudden misfortune, save them from punishment, O Lord our God. Remember, Lord and Savior, our parents and grandparents and all our ancestors and elders who from the beginning until these last days have died in righteousness and true faith. To all the faithful who have departed this life suddenly, at a time of misfortune or unexpected joy, at a time of sorrow or success, grant them, O Lord, rest in peace. You see what it does? It goes on and on with every imaginable way that we can die, whether suddenly or slowly, whether we're prepared or not. And we beg Christ to forgive those people, and hopefully they will end up saved in heaven. But we don't know for sure. That brings us to our other questions, which we'll get to in a moment. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion, and to tell the story of the Eastern lung of the Catholic Church, we need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com, and then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. You are listening to the Choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. Order online at ByzantineCatholic.com. All we ask is a donation of $20 or more, which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you.
I'm Bishop Robert Pipta of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, and you are listening to our very own Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
The Tabor Life Institute, which is dedicated to the formation and education in the theology of the body. To find out more about the Tabor Life Institute, you can go to taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org. Especially if you're interested in conferences and retreats, in particular for youth, young adults, and also for those of you who speak Spanish. That's taborlife.org. Welcome back to Light of the East on this meat fair, this Carnivale, Carnival Day, Mardi Gras, as it were, in Eastern Catholic churches, because we eat meat for the last time until Pascha, all through Lent. Yes, that's right. We give up meat and dairy products, all the fatty, celebrative type foods we give up, along with other things as well. And preceding that, as I mentioned, we pray for the deceased, one of the five All Souls Saturdays in the Byzantine calendar. Most of them happen during Lent. And it brings up some other questions. We looked at one question, does a loving God really send people to hell forever? But now we have another question. People will say, well, my father died last week or whomever. Oh, well, he's in heaven now. I hear that a lot at funerals and homilies or any kind of conversation about the deceased. Oh, well, they're in a better place now. They're in heaven now. Well, that is probably well-intended, and it's probably a person trying to comfort the bereaved people of the deceased. But it's actually not right or true. It's not good to do, actually, because we don't know if they're in heaven. And this doesn't mean we doubt it. Don't think in either or terms. That's another tendency we have today. It's not good. Because I say we don't know they're in heaven doesn't mean we're doubting it. We have what is called, and Bishop Robert Barron said this, and he got a lot of flack for it, and he tried to explain himself, but he was right. I support him in what he said. He said what the church says, and I'll say it too. There's no reason for flack. We have a reasonable hope, not a reasonable conclusion, not a reasonable certainty, but people sometimes acted like he said that. He said reasonable hope that a person is in heaven. But because it's a hope, a reasonable one, not a certainty, we keep praying for them. And if we say that, oh, well, they're in heaven, that's actually kind of insensitive. I know it doesn't seem that way. It seems like it's very nice and comforting. But, you know, nice things can also be not good things. They can be deceiving in their niceness. They could be like pretty poison. If we say someone's in heaven, it's like, okay, brush off your hands, you know, clap together, brush off your hands and move on. We don't have to think about them anymore, pray for them, which means we're not really loving them or loving and respecting their memory. We're not cherishing them. We should cherish them for life, which means we should pray for them constantly, all the time. And the church does through her liturgical life, through the Mass, the liturgy, the prayers during the All Souls Saturdays, the litanies. We pray for the deceased constantly and forever, begging God, begging, begging, begging. Wouldn't you rather be begging because you only have a hope and not a certainty than if you didn't pray at all for your loved ones and they weren't in heaven? Perhaps they're in purgatory. But you know, we can pray that their time in purgatory is lessened. You know, purgatory is not a place you want to go, because it's a purging, which means it must have, as Christ said in the Bible, being cleansed as though through fire, okay? So it's probably not a comfortable place. So you don't want a loved one to be uncomfortable for any long period of time, do we? I mean, certainly want them to be purged and cleansed to get into heaven, but we don't want them to languish in purgatory for a long time either. Now, we don't know what the sense of time is in the next life. It's not like here, but still, we pray for them and constantly pray for them. So don't say, oh, he's in heaven now. Say that we pray that his life is rewarded by heaven. That's more accurate and actually more thoughtful. We continue to pray. In fact, in the Eastern services for the deceased, we go one step further. We end them with a very, very beautiful phrase, which is only two words, two very meaningful words. We end it, the last words we say on a person's earthly life, you know, for our loved one who has passed on, we say, eternal memory. And we sing it three times over their body at the grave. Eternal memory is the last thing we'll say about them. And what that means is, it means we're asking God to remember that person. But remembering isn't just like a nostalgic thing. Oh yeah, I remember in the past, good old times. Memory, in terms of God, means taking that person's soul into God's mind. In other words, being mindful of them. That's really what memory means. It means being mindful of them. God, you be mindful of them. You take them in your mind. Put them in your mind, God, forever. That's the eternal memory. And why do we do that? We do that because we supposedly love our deceased brethren, and we want the best for them. If you love someone, you want the best for them. So what we do is we think to ourselves, okay, I will pray for them often, much as I can, and remember, and I will offer liturgies, masses for their intention, but I'm not going to do that constantly. I'm going to maybe forget, or I won't be able to do it, or some time will lapse, or whatever. I won't have a constant prayer, a constant memory, and it won't be perfect. So what we do is, since we want the best for them, our offering is good, but not good enough. So we ask God to do it. We ask God, God, you burn their memory into your mind. You burn their existence, their person, or their soul. You put that person in your mind, God. Be mindful in your divine way of that person, which means you're going to love them and take them to heaven for eternity. That's why we say eternal memory. And that is the proper way, and why it's so important not to be saying this sort of superficial but well-intended thing, oh, he's in heaven now. We hope and we pray, but we don't know. And also, why should we pray for the dead? Well, because they do in the Bible, for one thing. Secondly, the church has always done that throughout history. And thirdly, think about it. You put the scripture together, tradition together, and wrap it in the wrapping of logic. That's the other thing. We're not supposed to leave our logic behind when we talk about the scripture, where we just robotically quote a scripture. If it's in there, we believe it. If it's not in there, we don't believe it. And basically, we're looking for an explicit reference. Well, many things in the Bible are implicit. They're not explicit. Many things are not in the Bible that we still believe. So you have to put the tradition and the Bible together along with common sense, logic. Use your brain. God gave you the brain. It would be a sin not to use your brain, especially with faith. Faith, as especially Pope Benedict XVI would say, faith is reasonable. Faith goes beyond reason, but it's still reasonable. So we can combine faith and reason. And what we can reason is that, well, if Jesus is eternal and he is in this life and the next life, if we live on this earth, we are with him. If we die, we are with him. And therefore, we are all together with each other in Christ. God is a God of the living, not of the dead, which means he spans this life and the next life. And if we are in him, we live a life in Christ, and we die, it means that we too are in Christ. And therefore, we in this life can and should still pray for the deceased. It's not necromancy. It's not something that the pagans did. It's about praying for that person in Christ. And we also know that we can certainly pray to saints. They're called saints because we know it's verified they're in heaven. It's usually verified by two or three absolute, undeniable miracles from people praying for their help and in their intercession. So since we like concrete proofs of everything, we like science, that's kind of scientific, where science actually says, we can't explain this. This shouldn't have happened. But it happened. But it happened when someone was praying for them to a particular saint, or to our Lord, to the Virgin Mary, in particular the saints. And when that is documented that way, that's how that person declared as a canonized saint or even blessed. When they know there's a miracle that happened, an undeniable miracle that happened because of intercession to them, it happened and it cannot be denied. So we do pray to people who are in the next life, but we don't call them dead. I mean, they're dead on earth. Their body is dead on earth, at least in our eyes, temporarily, till the general resurrection. But they are not dead. They are living on to the point where they can actually hear our prayers and intercede for us in this life. Now, that's being pretty alive, wouldn't you say? If they were dead, they wouldn't be able to do that. So this is why we pray to dead, so-called dead people, because they're not really dead. They are alive in Christ. Their bodies are dead temporarily, but in the end, those bodies will be alive forever, spiritualized, glorified. It's just an amazingly beautiful teaching. It gives us such hope. Another group of some of the liturgical prayers we'll look at is this. In spirit, I see the three persons of the indivisible unity. I join them together even as I distinguish them. The triple stream of their awesome brightness is considered, is condensed into a single leaf. See the triple stream of their awesome brightness. It's interesting to find metaphors for the Trinity because it's so hard to explain and fathom the Trinity. This is what our Muslim friends have a problem with. They think and they say that we are infidels because we believe in three gods and there's only one God. Well, we agree with them. There is only one God, but it's three persons in one God. Something like three streams, like this prayer is saying. Three triple stream of brightness. Think of it this way. You've got three candles. You light one, you light the second one from that one, and you light the third one from either of those two. It's the same flame, isn't it? Yet it's separate. It's absolutely separate, distinct flame, yet it's one flame. Think of it that way. We have to use analogies because we can't possibly understand the Trinity. There's so much we can't understand about our faith, but we have to still believe. And we can believe because it's reasonable, but it's also a mystery. Thanks for listening. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Features and Programs tab and on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
News from around the world as it happens. Religious liberty, immigration, prayer, plus daily reports from the White House, Capitol Hill, and Rome. Get the Catholic news perspective on the things that impact your life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled WILL-COOK Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.